It's a very important discussion. Our governments prepare for war in Europe, and we have to stand up and have to clarify militarization is austerity and military service is not a career opportunity, but in worst case, a question of dying. That's why I think the European workers' movement would be well advised to resist this and to organize the protest against war. So your question is, what is the impact of the war in labor, in the labor movement in Germany? And I can say it's not really easy. It's a really difficult discussion. Actually, there is no discussion at the moment. At the start of the war in Ukraine, the German government decided to spend 100 billion euros on armaments and think aloud about doubling and tripling this huge amount. And of course, Germany meets NATO 2% obligation. Of course, Germany government meets this. And in order to finance this crazy armament, the government attacks the working and living conditions of the working class people. And this is the problem. And let me explain maybe with some sentences what kind of attack this is. Of course, the first impact of austerity of armament is, in every case, austerity. Currently, the government wants to survive the next elections, so they still hold back on the moment. But in their national security strategy, the German government announced that they will make social cuts to finance security and armament. And of course, they play different social groups off against each other. First, they didn't introduce a special benefit for children. We call it die Kindergrundsicherung, and they justified that there isn't enough money. Then they said unemployed people are lazy and refuse to work, and they canceled the inflation adjustment. And now, last week, they started a terrible racistic debate about migrants and refugees in order to cut their benefits too. And the most disgusting thing, in my opinion, is they justify social cuts by referring to the former leading fascist Joseph Goebbels, who said guns instead of butter. This is the argument of parts of the government, of parts of the media to refer to justify social cuts. And I'm utterly convinced that they will introduce the brutal austerity measures after the elections in autumn 2025, and we have to prepare for that. The second impact is, due to the high inflation, unions were not able to stop the loss of income in the collective bargaining rounds. Collectively agreed wages are now at the level of 2016. That's 8 years lost. So the government's austerity has also an impact on the balance of power in the companies, because it will create an atmosphere that will not give support to the demands of the unions, but rather to those of the employers. The third point, of course, is the environmental impact. It's an impact to our working and living conditions as well. If the Eurofighter emits more greenhouse gas in 1 hour than each of us produces in a year, the global warming will also accelerate massively. I think this is very clear. And the fourth is, armament attacks democracy. Armament attacks democracy. 2 years ago, the government wanted to reach an agreement with unions and employers. It was known as concerted action, konzertierte Aktion. This was the attempt to prevent strikes. In addition, the government often talks about a war economy, what basically means the subordination of all areas of the society to the government's foreign policy. The Minister of Defense has already said that a good collective agreement in public sector weakens the equipment of the German military, and the transport minister has demanded that the railway strike must not become a security risk because of the war in Europe. So all that is not very far from a ban on strikes or collective agreements. And as the end of the day, at the end of the day, we are challenged by the question how to strengthen democracy in the companies when the society around us is becoming increasingly authoritarian. So the workers' movement has sufficient reasons to rebel against militarization, but it's frighteningly quiet. So far, there hasn't been one single statement by the unions about the deployment of American medium-range missiles in Germany. It's now a big discussion in the peace movement. And in my opinion, there are at least three reasons for the silence of the unions. And let me explain very shortly these reasons. The first is, it is again a government led by social democracy that prepares for war and forces the unions to submit. The second, there's a terrible militaristic penetration of the entire society. Military advertising everywhere, at the bus stops, at the central stations, and even in swimming halls. There's nowadays a Veterans Day, which should anchor militaristic thinking in everyday life. There's a creeping militarization of the healthcare system. There's a new law in some regional parts of Germany that requires teachers to bring soldiers into classes. This is not a question of you can do it or leave it. It's a question of you have to do it. And the most disgusting example was a children's animated film about arms deliveries that was shown on public children's television. All this also has an impact to the union's discussion. And third, the huge armament spending it also an economic, the huge armament spending is also an economic stimulus package for the weapons industry that creates jobs. In times of deindustrialization, we can see that no single day go by in northern Germany without the newspapers announcing that new jobs have been created in the weapons industry. This development also leads to a contradictory discussion within the unions, especially in the IG Metall, the Metalworkers Union. And that's why the Union of the Metalworkers, IG Metall, wrote an industrial policy paper together with arms lobby on the need to expand the armament industry. So this is the situation in Germany, but Marx and Engels taught us to think in contradictions. And so I can tell you the positive message that 68% of people in Germany are in favor of peace negotiations in Ukraine. Almost a half of the people complain about the lack of democracy and they fear war in Germany. We should be aware that anti-militarists are always in minority, and history shows us there's always a turning point. While at the beginning of the First World War, the workers' movement was still subordinate to the imperial government's policy, in the following years, an opposition developed in both in the social democracy and in the unions. In June 1916, 55,000 workers in the Berlin armaments factories went on strike in protest against the Kalibknechts trial. In January 1918, 750,000 people went on strike for an end of the war, and many of them were women who had to make grenades in the munition factories. It was an impressive movement for peace, which culminated in the November Revolution a few months later and ended the war. Also in the post-war history, the relationship between IG Metall and the peace movement was not a given, but always a possibility. And always anti-militarist unionists fought to ensure that IG Metall took its place in the peace movement. When it did so, the movement gained in breadth, and at the same time, such alliances always meant support for the trade unions' struggle. These initiatives, this is my last remark, these initiatives still exist today. Although our leaderships are quiet, we wrote an appeal for peace that have been signed by thousands of German trade unionists. We organized trade unionist conferences for peace with 500 participants in the last year and more than 1,000 in this year. Everywhere, small events take place. We fight in our unions for peace resolutions, and today we are here with a delegation of 12 trade unionists from Germany who wanted to exchange their experiences. I'm deeply convinced there's a need for orientation, there's a need for the debate in the German workers' movement, and we have to try to give expression for that. Thanks.